Welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Andrew Murata, host of the show, and happy to be here with you live here on Facebook. Proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voicehead Radio Canada, or wherever you are taking in your podcast. Happy to be with you. Thank you for tuning in. One of the many things I love about this podcast is that it is live. You can jump in with comments and questions. And so certainly jump in and say hello. Let us know where you are watching from. A couple news and notes before we start. I do want to thank our sponsor of the show, IXL. If you've been with me for some time, so has IXL. So here is a word from our sponsor. Hey, friends. Andrew Murata here, surviving and thriving. And I want to thank today's sponsor for the podcast, IXL. Discover the power of data-driven instruction in your school with IXL. It is the most widely used online learning and teaching platform, K-12. It gives you everything you need to maximize learning, from a comprehensive curriculum to meaningful school-wide data. And IXL's diagnostic is research-proven to be a strong predictor of performance on standardized assessments, including NWEA, MAPS, STAR, iLearn, just to name a few. And the best part, everything I just mentioned is all integrated into one platform, so you can simplify your EdTech tools. Visit IXL.com to lead your school towards data-driven excellence today. The link is in the show notes. And again, I want to thank IXL for sponsoring Education, Leadership, and Beyond. So many educators I've talked to on the program here are familiar with IXL. They use IXL to reach kids. So that link is in the show notes. Click on that and check them out. We appreciate your sponsorship. Also, two events coming up I wanted to make you aware of. Two events. One of them is this Saturday. It's the Write My Book Seminar, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Here's a couple of clicks about them. This is 9:30. It's going to be Zoom. You could register on my website, andrewmurata.com, this Saturday, the 26th. And coming up in July, Tom's good friend Larry Dake and I are running the Dad's Leadership Summit. There's the information there, Binghamton, New York. All of that information is on my website, and we'd love to see you Saturday at the Book Writing Seminar. July 29th is the Dad's Seminar. All right, enough of all of that intro stuff. Let's get to the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. A number of people watching live. Jump in the chat, say hello. The opening concept here, simple interactions, simple conversations. I'm going to ask Tom about this. I know this is big where he works and where he calls them, micro inclusions, Tom, small things that have a big impact. My daughter had a track meet yesterday, and all the girls before the track meet, they do each other's hair. So she got this beautiful braid, beautiful. She's 12. She's middle school. Beautiful braid. I even said to my wife, I'm like, God, look at her. She looks so beautiful. You know, and I'm her dad. Of course, I think she looks beautiful, but she looks really nice. So afterwards, her mom was telling her that I said that, and we were talking, and she said, oh, my God. And a girl told me that also. And we were like, really? They were chit-chatting. But my daughter, Tessa, said to the girl, she said, I really like your hair. This is on the other team. And the girl was visibly like, oh, thank you. She said, I wanted to tell you that you're so pretty, but I was like afraid. And I was so proud of my 12-year-old that she broke the ice by just complimenting somebody else. And the other girl wanted to say it, but she just was too shy. So here on Education, Leadership, Beyond, tomorrow in school, give those compliments, say those nice things. Those little interactions matter so much. Tessa was so happy that the girls did that to her. But even more importantly, the other girl was so pleased that Tessa broke the ice with that. So I encourage you to do those things. It kind of warmed my heart as a dad and happy to share that story. Enough of me yip-yap, and let's meet the guest and the star of today's show. Tom Walls coming all the way from Winnipeg, Canada. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, thanks for having me, Andrew. Larry Dake has spoken really highly about you. And I do follow along with your blog, and I will probably be in attendance this Saturday.
Woo-hoo! All right. I know you're a writer, Tom. I know you're doing a lot of things outside of school as well. But this is Tom Walls, teacher and coach, coming to us from Church Hill High School, Winnipeg, Canada. Tom, you're not Canadian originally. You're from Delaware, huh? You've been going north your whole life. Tell me about that journey from Delaware, New York, and beyond.
Yeah, I'm born in Wilmington, Delaware, moved to upstate New York, Binghamton, New York, as a matter of fact, when I was about 12, went to high school there, university, and I was teaching there for a while. And I don't know if it's still the same, Andrew, but there was a time when New York State said you had to get your master's degree within your first 5 years of teaching.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went away, did my master's degree, and then decided I wanted to go away a little further. And I went to teach in Korea for a year.
Wow.
And I was teaching at an international school. And I met my wife there. She was teaching there, too. She was a Canadian. And we moved back to New York. Got married. We lived there for about, I don't know, about 10 years. We had two kids. She went back to Winnipeg, where she's from, for a summer holiday. Came back and she said to me, she said, I want to go home. I miss my sisters.
Wow.
And I said to her, you know, I'm an American history teacher and a football coach. I'm pretty sure they don't teach American history in Canada. And I'm not sure if they play football. They don't teach American history. They do play football, just one too many guys in the field, and they move around too much. But, you know, sometimes you leap and look for the net after. We moved up here, and that was 2010. And Canada's been a really good home for me and my family.
Wow.
Moved away. He lives in Philadelphia. And my wife, myself, and my daughter, we're very happy here.
Beautiful. What a beautiful story. And you do a lot of things for love there. I know it's very cold, though, right? I know it's very cold.
Yeah, she didn't tell me how cold it was up here, though.
Like even today, finally it got warm here in the Northeast. I'm in Northeast Pennsylvania. You know, it broke into the 60s. Are you still in the 40s and 50s? Where are you at?
Yeah, we're roughly about that. Winnipeg, Canada is in the top five coldest cities in the world to live. We reach minus 40 Celsius.
And do they like, you know, we cancel school all the time now. Do they?
No. Oh, this is what's fun. Check this out. I'm a teacher in the city of Winnipeg. Winnipeg Central School Districts never cancel school. Never. Because they're all neighborhood schools.
Wow. So even when it's 40 below, you just bundle up and go to school?
Yeah. And you know what? When I lived in New York, I never owned a gun. I moved to Canada. We have wolves and coyotes. I own a gun now. And I don't get any snow days.
My friend Jeff Evner, he says it's too cold. I agree, Jeff. That's
Winnipeggers are not soft. They are not soft people.
Well, let's talk education, Tom. You're a lifelong teacher and coach. You have a lot of deep passions there. Tell me your style. Tell me your style in the classroom and why teaching all these years.
Style would be a little bit hard for me to define because you never really have that good perspective on yourself. But I would say that what I see reflected in my students is humor and curiosity. And I teach a unique program. They're all at-risk kids. And they all have some kind of diagnosis of an intellectual disability. So I have them all day long. I teach them all the core curriculums, plus job skills, plus every other little thing. And a long time ago, I recognized that there was going to be a limit to the intellectual capability, but there would be no limit with curiosity. And I think I actually got that from a Ted Lasso episode. Maybe somebody out there will remember the one. But I also knew that these kids were one bad day away from quitting school. So every day had to be something humorous. And that fit really well with my personality. So I guess I would say that's kind of the philosophy. Yeah, we do our academics. I get the curriculum checked off, but my kids are more about laughing and being curious.
I love it. I'm a big fan of James Clear, Atomic Habits, and his blog today. His blog today was curiosity and passion behind everything are those two things. So it's great to hear you say that.
Yeah, I read the book. It's a good book, yeah.
Fantastic. And I know you're a writer. The blog is fantastic as well. Biggest difference for you, Tom, from the States to Canada?
Yeah. Okay, well, beer is more expensive.
That's a problem.
But I never pay a bill when I leave the doctor.
Oh, okay.
However, there's not a lot of differences. Canadians have a stereotype of being super polite. I would tell you that I found Winnipeg to be pretty similar to Philadelphia.
Oh, wow.
I'll let you read into that whatever you want.
<Yeah. laughs> Okay.
But, you know, Andrew, educationally speaking, this is the biggest difference that I've seen. When I was in New York State, I graduated from SUNY Brockport, which you're going to be familiar with a degree as a social studies teacher. I taught economics, I taught American history, I taught PIG, I taught American history. And American history was my favorite. When Canadian teachers graduate, they are teachers. They can be placed in just about any curriculum.
Wow.
Now, they do have specialty areas, but Canadian principals hire teachers, not specialists. And so the biggest difference I've seen is that you could be teaching grade 9 English 1 year and then be teaching grade 10 math the next year.
Wow. That's challenging.
Canadian teachers have to be remarkably flexible.
Wow. Wow. Tom, you're a lifelong teacher. I just did a class with a group about supporting teachers today. What's the best thing that you would say to an administrator on how they can support teachers in today's world?
Oh, I've been fortunate to have a lot of good administrators. In fact, the only one that I can think back on who wasn't good was back at a small rural school in New York State. And I think what I found the common denominator amongst good administrators was when they had a clear vision. And that's not exclusive to administrators. I think that's one of those aspects of leaders. When I felt that this was somebody that I could get behind their vision, I felt more comfortable in taking the things that I didn't want to do. So I never wanted to feel like the principal was putting out fires every day. I wanted to feel like the principal was taking care of big picture stuff and had a vision.
That's a great answer and certainly good advice for the administrators listening. Thank you for that, Tom. We have some football fans here watching. Cortland, home of the national champion Red Dragons.
Beat us every year. Every year. I played at Brockport, and Cortland killed us every single year.
They won the national championship this year.
The Red Dragons were really good in the 80s and 90s.
Well, Jeff is a big fan there. But I know you talked about curiosity before. Another great passion for you is football. You've loved football. You've been through all different levels, been through all different situations. Now you're at a different point of the psychology of football. Tell me about the passion of football and how that's fit into your life as an educator.
I've been fortunate. I came right out of university into teaching. I was 22.
Wow.
And I was teaching 17-year-olds at a place called Harpersville, New York. And Harpersville needed an assistant football coach. So I've been in high school, and I've been in football since I was 22. And in a way, it's been the best thing about the job, and it's been the most challenging thing about the job. Every day for me is like being a senior in high school again. And in a way, that's also kind of naive because, you know, my wife is a business consultant. She deals with really, really important money stuff all the time. I'm worrying about what I'm going to do first period. I'm worrying about what kids are showing up for practice. So when kids talk to me about wanting to be a teacher and wanting to be a football coach, I say it's awesome because I've been able to be 17 my entire life. And I say, you know, I'm also 17. You know, when my dad was 25, he had two kids, you know. Wow. So it's a little bit of a gilded cage, if that makes sense. What I love the most about football is I love the fraternity and the structure of hierarchy it creates. The head coach, the assistant coach, the captains, the players. Sometimes I liken it to a British warship in the 19th century. And when it's done correctly and players and coaches are respected, there's a great feeling of comfort with everybody rowing in the right direction. And I just stole a line from PJ Fleck, the coach out at the University of Minnesota.
Row the boat.
I love when football teams are clicking because you feel like everybody has a role and everybody respects their role. And there's something very synergistic about that.
I was 11 time when the Giants won the Super Bowl in 86. I fell in love with the New York Giants. And I loved football until I watched my son get hit, and it was like, whoa. And I watched him, you know, with the aches and the pains, and I kind of was like, kind of changed my mind. Talk to me about the physicality of the game, concussions, where we're at with all of that, mixing with your love of it, because I love watching it, but now when it's people I know, I kind of I cringe a little bit with the physicality. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I also had a son who came up through youth football. And I had a son who I coached for a long time until COVID hit and we sent him off to live with my sister in Philadelphia and play there. So I understand that feeling. Football is a rough game. And we do a lot of things to make it safer. But we must be honest when we say this is a game where we expect players to be rough. And I actually think that's one of the things that make it great. Now, I'm going to talk about the safety in a second. I do have my feelings that one of the things that boys need is they need a certain amount of physical play. Yeah. And I think we do them a disservice when we try to move them too far away from that. However, here are the ways that we make it safer. Obviously, equipment has improved, but that's really window dressing. That's not really where it's at. I was taught tackling and blocking by a really, really good coach out in Washington State named Hugh Wyatt. And he had a really good piece of advice, and it was, when you get a brand new kid to football, you treat it like it's swimming. You would not just throw them into the pool. And he said, when you do that and they match up with a kid who's experienced, that new kid will get hurt and they will never come back to football again, ever. Now, without taking you through all of these little steps, here is what I found. The biggest danger to football and the fear of concussions or the fear of injury is not from the equipment, but it's from the coaches. There's two kinds of coaches that are causing problems. First kind of coach who is more interested in running plays than doing fundamentals. That's the coach who wants to rush through everything, and they don't teach tackling slowly, and they don't teach it properly. Andrew, you're a basketball guy. This would be the coach who spends the majority of practice doing three-point shots. Never teaches your big guys how to get under the boards. But the second type of coach is the one that's more dangerous. This is the coach who announced on the first day of hitting, let's see who wants to hit. And they line kids up 10 yards away from each other, and they have them do what we call meat grinder drills. And it makes me very uncomfortable because those coaches seem to enjoy watching the kids hit.
Mm.
And all you have to do is look at social media to see that this is not going away. And your elite athlete, is going to be okay. The bigger and faster kid, they're going to be okay. The smaller kid who's brand new, they're going to get hurt, and they will never come back to football again. That second coach is who's driving kids away.
Talk to me about some of the coaching philosophy that maybe you've taken from your classroom interactions, that you've taken from your mentors, you've taken from the great Ted Lasso, and then you bring your players. What are some of your...
Title of the book is going to be Coach Like a Teacher, Teach Like a Coach.
Mm.
And it's a series of micro inclusions, which means quick, simple actions you can take to help create a team or create a community in the classroom. And I stumbled across this idea when I realized one day that a technique we were using with the football team, I was also using with my students. And it's also something that was taught to me by that guy, Hugh Wyatt, and it's the simplest thing in the world. It's the second chapter in the blog. It's handshakes and the incredible impact that a handshake at the beginning and the end makes on creating community. Hugh Wyatt's given me a ton of good stuff. This has been the best one. This has changed my relationship with kids. I could talk your whole podcast on how this simple thing works, but I'm not going to hold it hostage to that. I guess what I would say, Andrew, to try to answer your question in a roundabout way, and that is one of my learning disabilities, talking too much. I have found that there's a whole bunch of things that work in my classroom that have worked with my football teams. And I have found there's a bunch of things that work with my football teams that work with my students. You know, you do a Venn diagram, the two circles where they meet in the middle?
Oh, sure.
I got a bucket load of that stuff that you could do in 30 seconds. You don't need a whole weekend away at a faculty meeting to learn how to do something. It won't take you all night prepping doing. And man, you love the simple stuff that works.
Yeah. I love the concept of the micro inclusions. A lot of friends saying hello here, Tom. Our good friend Larry Dake is on.
Ask him how his hair is.
Giving you a shout out, Alberto Aaron, the mock trial team at Vestal High School.
Really good advisor, Albert. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about your passion and attention to detail. But I love the concept of the micro inclusions of capturing them, and you're capturing them and now putting them into stories and writing about them. Tell me about that passion of turning those into stories that people can use.
I'm starting to see the end. I'm 53. I've been teaching since 1993.
Wow.
I'm kind of like that Alice's Restaurant song by Arlo Guthrie, where he gets to the end of the 20 minutes and he says, I've been singing for 20 minutes. And he says, I'm not proud of that. And then he stops and says, I'm also not tired. I'm not tired yet, but I'm starting to see the end of when I want to retire from coaching and then when I retire from teaching. But I've got some valuable stuff, and I think there's another career there. Nobody's going to pay money to see the Canadian wing offense that I run. And nobody's going to necessarily hire me to fly me out to California and speak to schools. But I think there's a place for those football coaches who are also good teachers.
Yeah.
And I think there's a place for those really good teachers that also coach sports. And this Venn diagram area, I think I've got something valuable to provide to them. So I started writing a book based on some advice from my former teacher, John Perricone. And each week I wonder what I'm going to write about, but each week something pops up.
And where can people follow those stories? I know I've seen them. You send them out. I see them. Where is there a blog? You have a mailing list? How do you send those out?
It's on a writer's cooperative called Substack.
Okay.
And it would be as simple as typing in my name, Tom Walls. Each week I put out something new, and it usually comes out Sunday night. And it's usually no more than a 5-minute read, or what I like to call the bathroom read.
Yeah.
Remember Uncle John's bathroom reader?
I don't remember that, but I know what you're talking about.
Don't bring your phone with you.
That story, my daughter, just yesterday, and she was telling it, I got choked up, but that's a blog now. That's an experience and a simple one. But the impact of her breaking the ice brought two people together that didn't know each other, and they lifted each other up. It's capturing them and then putting it into writing.
Women are really good at this. When they meet another woman who's a stranger, but they're going to be hanging out with them socially, they will compliment them on something they're wearing. They will compliment them on their hair. They will compliment them on their jewelry. What a great way to make a micro inclusion right away in an awkward situation. Guys, don't do that.
Yeah, I was proud of her yesterday. You're on your way to becoming a professional speaker because John Perricone says he's going to pay to hear you speak. So.
he's very generous. He's very positive, and he's very generous.
That's the definition of a professional speaker there. A lot of things you wrote in the pre-show here caught my attention. But John Perricone, he's the reason you don't wear headphones at the airport. I said, I'm curious about that. What does that mean? So why did John Perricone teach you about that?
So John Perricone was incredibly important to my high school experience. He was a health teacher who came into Maine Enwell High School, and it was probably 1986 when I would have been in ninth grade. And he blew the doors off of the school, because he was that first teacher who broke the mold of putting notes on the board. He was the first teacher that didn't stand and deliver. And every day he brought it. So every day he taught like his hair was on fire. And he inspired generations of teachers to come out of Maine Enwell.
Wow. But
one of the things that I still follow with him on his constant Facebook posts is he's always talking to people in airports. And he finds ways to connect with people, even people that appear to not want to talk. And because of that, I won't wear headphones in the airport. And you know how we mentioned, like, women will break the ice with your hair is great, your dress is great, your jewelry is great. If you're in the airport, you've got a common denominator to talk to anybody. Where are you going?
You're going somewhere, yeah.
And you know they're going somewhere. So and when I talk to my kids about how to socialize, we talk about find the common denominator. And it's a really good politician skill. Politicians can talk to anybody about anything. Airports, man, everybody's got a cool story.
I love it. I love it. Well, a nice shout out to your teacher, John Perricone. Nice that he's watching here. Certainly, you've talked about your family here, your wife, Shandy, 24 years you're married.
Yep.
Aiden and Tommy. So Tommy's in Philly and Aiden is in Canada?
Yeah, Tommy's a neat story. We sent him away to live with my sister when COVID hit. He was an aspiring quarterback. And he went on, and he still is at Eastern University outside of Philadelphia playing with them. And my daughter, Aiden, is an anthropology major. She's digging up bones.
Wow.
You know, who does such a thing?
Jurassic Park, man.
Yeah. Let's hope it works out like that. But Canada's been very good to my children. It's been very good to my family. You know, it's no Garden of Eden, but it's been a good home.
Well, your wife just corrected me. You're in trouble. 25 years here. So
she's not supposed to know I'm on. Andrew, block her. Block her.
Wow. Incredible. Well, the weather is changing. It's turning spring. The end of the school year is coming. What are some things you look forward to now, Tom, with the warmer weather and the spring and summertime here?
I love the completion of the school year. I love our kids graduating out of the program and the special things that we do for them. Let me give you another segue. I think it's probably the fourth chapter in the blog. We talk about something called the candle ceremony. I do it with my students and I do it with my football players. And I got it from a coach in California named Rick Stewart. And what happens is the beginning of the year, students who are in grade 12, they get a candle. And they put their name on the candle. and they write a word about them. And then on the very last day, they light the candle and they pass it on to another student who hasn't graduated yet. Now in football, they put their numbers on it, right? In my class, they put a name on it. And when they pass that candle on, I say to the kid who received it, I said, "Now you're receiving something important here. This student thought highly enough about you to pass their candle to you. If you don't come back, that candle dies." Actually had a kid get it in my classroom last year and mumble under his breath, "Oh, great, now I can't drop out." Seeing the kids graduate, doing the candle ceremony, it's a highlight of the year. It's awesome. Awesome.
Beautiful story. Again, you're capturing it. You're putting them into stories that people can take and use it. That's beautiful, Tom. Really, really nice to see. And I love the interacting of football and the classroom. We talked a lot off air about some things in your life that happened good and happened bad. And we learn from these things. You used to coach at the school that you're at, and you don't anymore. And you look back at that situation as one of regret. Did you want to talk about that and that decision and you not coaching football at the school you're teaching at anymore?
Sure. You know, I'm not real proud of this, but if we're trying to help people, people need to see everything, including the warts. It's not that I'm not proud of not coaching there, but when I decided to leave the school I was at to start another football program where I live, in talking to the other coaches and in talking to the players, I told them I was leaving. I told them I was leaving for personal reasons. But that's not completely true. I was leaving to start a program in a place that was closer to where I lived and where my son would be. What I should have done, Andrew, is I should have been honest with those coaches and with those players. And I should have said, "I've enjoyed my time here. We've done some good things, but I'm going to move on. And these are the reasons why I'm going to move on. And I understand that might be difficult, but I would expect you to recognize that this is a good thing for me. And it doesn't mean that you are bad. It just means that this is better for me."
Yeah.
I should have done it that way.
Okay.
Rather than hiding behind personal reasons.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that story, and we make decisions, but you had a chance to coach your son then.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's beautiful. Yeah.
One of the best experiences in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that story. And again, the passion of football is woven into so much of what you're doing in and out of the classrooms. The writing, it's all coming together here. And eventually you do want to get out there and speak, Tom. So what's that message going to be? What do you think that the story is going to be? How do you feel that you're going to take these things you're sharing now and put them into a presentation that can help other educators?
Yeah, I think it really is, I don't want to say as simple, but as clear as quick, painless actions you can take to create a community in your classroom or create more of a community on your football team. And it's kind of a niche audience. It's not for the teacher who just wants to put notes on the board. It's not for the football coach who wants to put out a clipboard and, I don't know, call plays like he's playing Madden video games. It is for the teacher or coach who gets the contact high from feeling like they accomplished something with their kids.
Yeah.
And those moments of learning in the classroom or those moments of light bulbs going on the football field, listen, it's a huge dopamine rush for me. And I've been doing it since 1993. I have not gotten tired of that high, and that's the audience that I'm trying to reach.
Beautiful. We're going to help you on your way there, and certainly the people watching the show are into your message, and we'll help you get that out. So congratulations there, and we wish you the best on your journey. And I do hope you come Saturday to the book writing seminar. So, Tom, you know, my message is surviving and thriving. Let's take the word "and" out of there. What are you putting in? What strategy, what mindset, what technique are you putting in to go from just surviving to thriving on the field, in the classroom, with your family? What's that thing for you?
Figuring out what makes kids tick and realizing it's not a one size fits all.
That's true.
And boy, that's challenging. Wow. Wow. You know, my wife and I were talking about it the other day. And Andrew, I don't mean to go down the rabbit hole of talking about football, but the position group that I always coach is the offensive linemen. And they're always bigger kids, except at my school. They're never big, but they don't tend to be the alpha male athletes. And because of that, we usually form a really tight-knit group. And what motivates them is not scoring. What motivates them is belonging. What motivates them is feeling respected and recognized. These are the kids that probably got cut from the basketball team.
Well, well said there. And that's a lot in between surviving and thriving, but it's bringing those kids in, and it's certainly finding out what makes them tick. And that's how you make those connections with kids.
Yeah. I guess I would say my thriving is making sure kids feel respected.
Yeah.
And that's an odd thing, because it sounds like you're giving kids whatever they want, and that's not it. Mm. In the classroom, I'm okay using whatever pronoun the kid wants. It doesn't matter to me. But that's not the end of respecting kids. Respecting kids means you're teaching in various ways for all kids to be able to grasp the material. Democratizing education means not just putting notes on the board. It means, how do you reach the other learners? On the football field, it means don't put a kid in a position that he won't be successful.
Yeah.
Recognize what kids can or can't do and work with that.
Well said, Tom. Jeff, I appreciate your participation in the chat today. Very active in the chat. Tom, something you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask you?
Oh God, no, because I'll suck the oxygen out of this pod. I think I've said my piece.
Yeah, you've done well. It's been great. I know we talked off air. IXL does sponsor the show here. It's been a great tool for you in terms of reaching your kids, different levels of learning. Talk to me about your experience with IXL.
Use it every day. I use it every day. I use their ELA and their math versions because it allows great flexibility with my students. I have some kids who do math on a grade one level. I have some kids who do math on a grade 10 level. IXL lets me move all around. My only challenge with IXL is their science and their social studies programs are only available in America. They don't have it in the Canadian version. Oh, but another great thing they do is IXL aligns itself completely to the Manitoba curriculum. I never have to worry about my kids going outside the curriculum. And wow, that saves a lot of time when I have to justify their credit.
Do the kids kind of like roll their eyes like, oh, I got to do my IXL? Or are they like jumping in and it gets momentum?
Well, I wouldn't say that they're jumping in, but it's technology. And I have kids who will work on a laptop in the classroom. I also have kids who will break out their phone and do it on their phone.
Wow.
And, you know, the phone is a weird, weird world we're getting into. And I try not to make it a mountain that I want to die on. I try to work with it. And to be honest with you, Andrew, this wasn't your question, but maybe it does connect to IXL. If I become a tyrant with phones in my classroom, kids will quit school. And that's not the mountain I want to die on.
Yeah. You really do seem to have a great mindset for kids and understanding where they're at and meeting them where they're at. And I think that's a great challenge for all of us, but it sounds like you've got a pretty good handle on it.
I do for now. We'll see what tomorrow brings.
Well, let's get rolling and rapid fire. This has been fun, Tom. You can tell that you are an educator who gets it, and that we need to continue to get your message out. So these are rapid fire, quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm very excited.
Last book you read?
The Lincoln Highway.
Last movie you saw?
Something on Netflix that we spent more time scrolling through the options than actually watching.
That drives me crazy. Last concert you went to?
Oh, the Real Mackenzies, a punk Scottish group from Canada. So good. So good.
Favorite dish?
Chicken parmesan, either in sandwich or plate. Doesn't matter to me.
You go platter or plate. Favorite place to travel?
Lewis, Delaware.
Yeah, it's back on the list there. This summer, I will fill in the blank.
This summer, I will be patient in making sure kids enjoy time away from football and not put pressure on them to think about football 24 hours a day. That's my job.
Beautiful answer. You talked about a lot of passions today. What's a pet peeve of yours?
Teachers who wear jeans.
Wow, that's an odd question. Why is that a pet peeve?
I think we're supposed to present a professional image, and I don't think jeans or shorts, and especially not jean shorts, present that image.
Wow, I love it. A recent victory?
Being on the show.
Nice, cool. I appreciate Larry connecting us for sure. At 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel fill in the blank.
Ambitious to get through my chores so I can do the things that I want to do.
What have you learned by living in Canada?
People are people. Canadians can be polite. Canadians can be rude. They're no different than anybody else.
People are people. Is there something about Tom Walls that people do not know about?
Gosh, what a question. Yeah, my guilty pleasure is reading Stephen King novels.
Watch out up there in Winnipeg in the cold.
Oh, I'm sorry, what did you say, Andrew?
I said up there in Winnipeg in the cold.
Yeah, I read Christine in my dad's car on the way up to Brockport my freshman year for football, and it just became a habit. I think the guy's a great story writer. I don't care what you think, Larry Dake. He's a great storyteller.
Best teaching tip that you have for teachers?
Run your race. Be authentic.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. These are quick either or, okay? Cheeseburger, taco, or empanada?
Cheeseburger with mustard and ketchup.
Ooh. Long walk or gym workout?
10 years ago, gym workout, now long walk.
And can you walk in the cold up there? Are you outside in January and February?
Really good lesson. Somebody taught us once, you just have to dress for the weather.
Yeah. Beach, pool, or lake?
Pool. Love the feeling of feet drying off on hot asphalt.
Sports team. Who's your team?
Philadelphia Eagles. I don't care what you think.
Book or audio book?
Book.
Series or movie?
Series. I fall asleep easily.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Cash or credit?
Credit.
Morning or night?
Morning.
Cookie or donut?
Oh, cookies for sure.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Punt it or go for it?
Oh, gosh, it's Canada. On third down, we're all punting the ball. I've screwed that up a few times. I've screwed it up a few times. It's super awkward. Oh, gosh, no. My wife will go for it. I punt the ball.
There you go. Tom, you're doing some writing, again, looking to start speaking here. What's the best way people can follow that blog and get in touch with you?
Yeah, honestly, the blog is the best bet. Substack is its title. And then you just type my name in the search and it'll pop up. Yeah, I'm on X, but my son tells me nobody follows X anymore. I'm on Instagram, but I try not to be on there too much. You can find me on Facebook because I'm above 50.
There you go. Yeah, your Facebook, I put it in the chat there, at Tom Walls 6263. But yeah, definitely check out the blog there. What's the name of the blog? Do you have a name for it?
It's Thomas's Substack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they're great stories, a great inspiration. And so keep writing. Tom, are you a quote guy? You have a quote for us to end the show?
You know, quotes get pretty cliche, don't they? But I think the best one that I remember was on a really, really old beat up piece of paper that somebody had taped on the ceiling above the bench press at Main Enwell High School. And I looked at that piece of paper for 4 years. And the quote was, "Sweat now will eliminate tears later." Take it for what it's worth.
Wow. You think it's still there?
God, I hope so. But, you know, the 80s were a wild time, weren't they?
Sweat now, there'll be tears later. I love it. This is coach and teacher Tom Walls. Tom, it's been a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, really good connecting, Andrew.
Yeah. Shout out to all the people watching live, your teachers here, Mr. Pericone and our friend Larry Dick, Jeff Evner. Even Mrs. Walls is watching here. So 25 years, Shani. Congratulations.
Hercules, Hercules.
We are going to sign off. Tom, you stay on. If I could help you in any way, everybody, please reach out at Andrew Murata 21. Type in Substack and put in Tom Walls, and you'll find his blog. Again, two events coming up Saturday. The Write My Book seminar is 9:30 Eastern time. And on July 29th, the Dad Seminar with Dr. Dake and myself, two events. So you can learn more about those at AndrewMurata.com. Tom, thanks, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Keep surviving and thriving, friends. Tom, you stay on the line.